right, turn over to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9, this passage, it really fits well with camp. The camp theme this year is Mission Possible, amen? And so it's kind of a spy theme and thing. It should be a pretty good time. The leaders have gotten pretty excited about being able to work with that theme. We actually, on the junior side, have a new segment just for that theme. The kids are going to have opportunity to find things throughout the camp and look for clues and all that. That's always a fun time. Which is great, but the title of this message is All Things Are Possible to Them That Believe, and we'll see that in our text, but I love that thought, and I love that reality that no matter who you are, no matter how you were raised, no matter what difficulties, disabilities, or anything else that you have that would potentially hinder you, that all things are possible for you if you'll just believe, if you'll believe the word of God. And my life is riddled with disappointment early in life, but it doesn't matter, amen, that all of us have those things. And you can make it, amen, not in your own strength, but in God's. You can make it. If you'll not trust your own word, if you'll not trust the wrong people, even I love what Emily was saying about choosing your partners wisely in life. A lot of young people are haphazard in the choosing of who they're going to partner up with in life. And it costs them. It costs them. And we try in our church to stress. I've sat with many a couple and say, I don't think you ought to be married. No, we're in love. Well, whatever. In a year or two from now, come talk to me. And I don't say that to be mean. It's just the word of God. Be ye not unequally yoked together. And with unbelievers, but even in reference, sometimes believers don't make a good match, right? And so just being careful. And so Kyle Thomas, Emily probably wouldn't yoke up with you there on a journey or some trip. And she wouldn't, I mean, you'd want someone that would be able to help you if you did struggle. But that's the point. Knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, knowing what you might be called upon in a relationship. Those are important things, amen? And anyway, all things are possible with him that believe, amen? And so we're going to look at that today, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. We actually used this text last week, and we're going to use it again, totally different message completely. And hopefully it'll mean something to you this week, maybe add to what you learned last. Amen. Mark 9, verse 14 says, And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to salute him and asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, which means that the child couldn't speak, but there was more than that. It says in verse 18, And whithersoever he taketh him and teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation. So the scenario here is that there's a man that had a child. Now that child's raised some, grown some. We don't know the exact years of this child, but it's been a while. And since a young child couldn't speak and just, as it says here, it says that he would foam and tear himself. We'll even see that it would throw himself in the fire, just absolute, in a sense, lunatic. And this father is concerned about his son, and he wants help for his son, and he's heard of Jesus. Jesus wasn't around at that point. They were up on the mount. And so he went to the other disciples, and he says, your disciples, because Jesus eventually did come down. And so he's talking, says, your disciples, I came to them to have this devil cast out, and they couldn't. And so they came to him, and this was Jesus's response. He said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, so Jesus addresses the father. He says, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Listen to what the man said to Jesus. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lift him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that, this is interesting, and he would not that any man should know it. Interesting. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. There's so much here in this text. And I pray, God, that you'd direct us today through this portion of Scripture. God, I pray you'd supply exactly what is needed for each one that's here. Might the Holy Spirit of God have free course to move in and out amongst us, dear God, and discern our heart by thy precious Scriptures. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, dear God. We need your help today. We ask, God, you give us understanding, and God, that you would just meet with us today and tune us into your precious Scriptures. Bless this day now. Help us as your word is preached. I sure need your help, God. Without you, I can do nothing. But God, if you'll lead, God, I know great things will take place for all. Help us now, I pray, in this message. And we'll thank you, dear God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I put together 4 points to this message. And just from the word of God here, number one, O faithless generation. Number two, how long since this man how long since this came unto him? Number three, all things are possible to him that believeth. And number four, this kind can only come forth by prayer and fasting. First point, very important point. Number one, Jesus said to them as they approached and said they couldn't cast this out. They couldn't, whatever's going on here, they couldn't correct it. Jesus said, oh, faithless generation. And on the surface, we might think we understand what that means to be a faithless generation. But I want to expound on that just a little bit. Turn over to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. And we'll see a parable here that helps us to understand what faith is maybe a little more thoroughly and in reference to what Jesus is referring to. We know that they believe somewhat in Jesus. I mean, this is the crowd that's gathered around. This isn't the those that chose not to come. This is the group that's there. Amen. And so you say, how can you call this group faithless when they are at least there? But do you know, even in a congregation gathered together for church, that there can be faithless among us? There can, matter of fact, in some degree, we all could probably be called faithless. Amen? Because we all have need of having our faith increased. Amen? And so we're going to look a little bit about what that might mean. Verse number 1 of Luke 18 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now from that, the Lord said this in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now watch this phrase. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, by the way, how many of you think it's close to the time of Jesus Christ coming back to earth? Anybody think it's probably close to time? Okay, so this passage is referring to this time frame, all right? Because it says, Jesus is teaching. He says, when the Son of Man cometh, he's there at that point, but this is referring to what's called the second coming, amen? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? My response to that is, Lord, if I'm here at thy coming, I pray so, amen? Because I want to be a man of faith, amen? But this question is asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, by context, what was he pointing to in this parable to say that there would be faith? Now, we have this widow woman who is seeking to be avenged. Now, we don't know what her issue is. We don't know how she was wronged, but we do know that she believes that the judge that she's appearing before, the unjust judge, can make it right. And so she knows he is the only one that can correct the situation. And so she comes before this judge day and night, crying unto him, asking him to get involved. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to deal with it. He didn't want to help her. He didn't want to side with her. He didn't want to do anything for her. But it says in this text, it says, because she continued to come, because she kept asking, because she didn't faint, she didn't grow weary, she didn't quit, she didn't grow despondent, she didn't give up. She didn't just say, well, I guess it's not important. She didn't make excuse. She kept coming and kept coming and kept coming because she knew he was the one that can help her, though he didn't want to help her for whatever reason. Jesus said, by the way, every analogy, every parable has its main point. Not every part of it is a perfect analogy. And in this case, the unjust judge, though likened unto God, God is not unjust, amen? It's just saying that if an unjust judge would listen in that case, how much more then a just judge when his people come and come before him day and night and continue to pray, how much more will he avenge for them? And so we find that faith then, in reference to this, would be that continuing to come to God in prayer, seeking him in this way. Now, remember, we're talking about faith. Why faith? What's that, the whole point of faith? Well, you have to ask, faith in what? And faith in who? Faith in who would be God. Faith in what about God? Just God in general? No. There's something specific about God that we must have faith in. And that would be his word. Amen? That would be his word. Now, a faithless generation gives up quickly. They refuse to cry out to God day and night. Now, why is this so? Because they do not understand how life works. I want you to really think about that today. You think you know how life works. None of us really know how life works. But I know someone that knows how life works. Amen? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I was trying to think of an analogy that would work well for this. And there's a door over there. I don't like opening it because it's really hard to close. But do you know knowledge? Do you know everything in life is about, it's about instruction. It's about knowing not only what to do, but the timing of what to do. Timing. Do you know you can be intent on the right thing, but if it's the wrong time, the right thing's not always right at the wrong time. Life is like this labyrinth, that's this maze. And what I find is this, a lot of people, God knows this is a door and he would direct us to it. But it's like people think, no, God, I want this to be the door. And they just keep, God, why isn't this working? What, God, I want this to be the door. And that describes, I'm a pastor. I'm involved in people's lives all the time. That describes people to a T. God, I'm raising my kids and I want them to turn out right. But you keep running into a door because you've not looked to find from God's word where the door is. God, I want this to work out. I want my marriage to work out. I want to have more money in the bank. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to. And you keep running into these walls because you're not looking at God's word for how life works. You see. And what keeps us doing that? Disappointments and hurts and discouragements and problems and all these things happen. And we grow weary with God and we grow weary with just life in general. And we give up and we stop doing what we know is right to do by the word of God. That's what a faithless generation is. It's not this wicked group out there that's not gathered together around Jesus. It is the group that is gathered around Jesus that God is calling faithless. It's easy to look at the drunken crowd and say they're faithless. It's easy to look at the hard up people just shooting up their veins and living in whatever. It's easy to look there and say they're faithless. This is talking about the group that's actually around Jesus. And he says, oh, faithless generation. Why? Because you gave up. Because you grew weary. Because you grow despondent. Because you just quit. He says, you are faithless, you see. That's what we see in this text. Look over at John 8. John 8. Why is it that a believer would not know how life works? How can it be that you and I that have God's complete will for our lives, how is it possible that we don't know what to do? By the way, this is Christ's word, his last will and testament. The death of the testator has happened. This is in full force. If you want to know God's will, I'm holding it in my hand. And you're holding it in your hand. It's not how I feel. It's not what I think will work out. It's here. That's why we've been told to prove a couple things. No? Prove how many things? All things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. What do we prove it by? Well, if I like it or not. No. We study his will. Amen? How is it that you and I who love Jesus, how can it be that we would be ignorant concerning his will? That's a good question. Why is it that a believer would not engage in the powerful practices and miraculous things that God has enabled us to do on earth? Why would it be that we would settle for the weak and beggarly elements of this world when we have the very word of God which tells us all things that pertain to life and godliness? How can it be that we that are close to God, we that gather around God, how can it be that we don't know? How? How can it be that there are people in this room today that haven't cracked open their Bible all week and yet complain about what's going on in their life? How can it be? How can it be that you have a man that says, I want to be a good father to my children, and yet never seeks the word of God on the matter? How can it be that we have ladies that say, I want to be a good mother, but never search the book that tells them how to be a good mother? How can it be? We have everything that we need right here that unlocks miraculous things for us on earth. The Bible, our text says that we can do the impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. These are believers, I believe, for the most part. You're a believer today. You're here. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. You believe in him. You believe that he created this world in six literal days. You're a believer. And yet we find in John 8, 31, watch this, talking to believers, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will give you victory. Who is this to? The believer who seeks to know his truth. I ask you a question. Do you have an insatiable desire to know this book? Do you really? Because if just from Sunday school, when I was gathering, it's not just about knowing it. It's about doing it. Is that right, John? I think you were teaching on that. If it's not just about knowing it, it's about putting it to practice. And we can't say that we really desire to know it if we don't first put it in practice, or at least once we find it out, put it in practice. Amen? That makes that true disciple is the one that actually seeks to know it and then seeks to apply it. Look over at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. To be faithful then, based on our scripture, you must first believe that God is who he says he is. Amen? That he is the creator. That he is all powerful. That God can do anything. Amen? You have to believe in the God of this book. That's going to be step one. Secondly, though, you must believe that he has given us special powers that are only unlocked through the Bible. You'll hear me say at times that Christians are not supposed to be mere mortals. We are to walk in the supernatural grace of God upon earth. We ought to be seen as those that walk above the fray of this world, because we're not subject to it any longer. We have been given something by God that is miraculous in nature. So to be faithful, you must first believe that God is who he says he is. And then you must believe that God has some special power to give you from his word so that you can live in this life and be successful at it. This world is really good at beating people down and making people give up. This world is really good at making losers. That's what it does. People start off the best intentions, and before it's all over, they just want to end it all. They want out. Amen. Why? Because that's what the world's good at doing to mankind on earth. But for you and I as believers, it should not be so. Why? Because God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And if you're enjoying life, it ain't because you're following the world. Because the world doesn't know how to enjoy life. All the world knows how to do is ask for more and be discontented and unthankful. It's only the true child of God that can be content and enjoy life. So, number one, you must believe that God is who he says he is. Number two, you must believe that he has special power to give unto you through his word. And then number three, you must be willing to live by what you find in the Bible. Else, you really don't believe it. Say, where do you get that from? 2 Peter 1. This has become almost a life passage of mine. Amen. Named my YouTube channel after it, amen. I didn't even know what I was doing when I did it, but God knew what he was doing, amen. Absolutely amazing. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied. By the way, those are two great things to have multiplied in our lives, amen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through. Whoa, 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 whoa. Looks to me like it's available. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through. That means there's a transfer. It's available through a certain set of means. Not all means, a set of means. Through the what? What's that say?
Knowledge.
Through the knowledge of God. Grace and peace be not just added. Man, I love mathematics, amen. Multiplied, multiples, amen. I mean, it's great. I was watching, someone said, like, if you take a dollar and you double it every day, is it 30 days? It's like over a million or something. Man, that's the power of multiplication. Some are like, what? You can do it later. 1 + 1 = 2, then 2 + 2. Keep doubling it. And that $1 turns into like a million. Woo! That's a whole lot better than just getting a buck a day and having 30 bucks at the end, amen. I'm telling you, multiplication is powerful. And this passage says, it's a promise, Don. It is a promise. It says, grace and peace. Can anybody use some more peace in their life? Amen. A little turmoil going on. Okay. Grace and peace be not just added, multiplied. Grace, the power of God, and peace be multiplied. How? Through just this book that the pastor keeps harping on me to get into. I just don't have time. Oh, that's too bad. Sorry. No peace and grace being multiplied to you. Amen. Grace and peace multiplied how? Through the knowledge of God. Oh, it gets better. Watch this. It's already good. And of Jesus our Lord. It says in verse 3, according as his divine power. Divine, that's heavenly. That is God. God's power. According as his divine power hath given unto us, transfer, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You mean to tell me, what's that next phrase? Through what? Through the knowledge of him. There it is again. You mean to tell me that God has all this grace and peace, this power of God to give me, but he'll only do it through his word. You know what that means? Not many people have it. Because most people, they don't spend much time here. They don't got time for it. They don't spend much time in the Bible. They don't know what it's like to study. Listen, the adult Sunday school class is dealing with how to study their Bible. And I've watched the attendance dwindle down because some of you all think it's more important to sit in the parking lot. Some of you all think it's more important to do whatever or not be here, instead of getting involved in a class that will help you to get into this book that will transfer to you grace and peace. Are you kidding me? That's what we're talking about. That's why we're faithless. It's not that you don't want to be faith. You want to have faith, but you just don't understand how life works. This is how life works. It's all about this right here. It's all about the book. How much of this will get into you? That's it. That's all life is about. Why? Because this book tells us where the doors are. This book keeps us from running into walls all the time. This book tells us how to navigate this life, which takes strong men and reduces them to crying babies in a corner. It is this book. And you think, you pray, God help me. And God says, I'm trying, but you won't open it.
I'm trying, but you think it comes from somewhere else. You think you're going to pray, and while you're sleeping, that Gabriel's going to visit you and go and put all this stuff in you that you all of a sudden gain this power and wealth and knowledge and understanding this just while you're sleeping. Doesn't work that way. When you get insanely interested in this book, you will begin to understand what it means to have God's grace, His power, and His peace all over you. You see, that's why I love this passage. Because I'm a nobody. But God is everything. All I know how to do is mess things up. All I know how to do is fail. All I know how to do is just sit in that corner and grow despondent and run for the hills. That's all I know how to do. But God is amazing. He teaches us how to do everything that we're willing to be taught. Unfortunately, most people that say they want God to bless their life, they never crack this right here. That's how you know if somebody's really serious or not. It's how much time they're spending here. Someone will say to you, oh yeah, I want this, and I want to be that, and I want God's blessing, and I want to be a good, how much time do you spend here? Because if you don't spend time here, it's just a bunch of hot air. It's all it is. You're a liar, pants or skirt on fire, amen. Because this is how it works right here. It's how much of this book are you willing to have supernaturally impose into your life? That's what will help you, and nothing else. Nothing else. It's all through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Watch this, verse 4, it gets even better. Whereby, whoa, whereby? What does whereby mean? It means by the means that was already given. Twice iterated, the knowledge of Him. Twice, knowledge of Him. Knowledge of Him, whereby, okay, let's see it. Whereby are given unto who? Who's us? The believers. You're a believer, right? You're a believer. It's for you. It's not for somebody else. It's for you. God has something for you. God has something special for you. Not for those that didn't show up, for you. Not for those that claim to be unbelievers or don't even want anything to do with it. No, you who do believe. Whereby are given unto us, the Bible says. Look at this. Exceeding. What's exceeding mean? Over the top, buddy. Exceeding, it says in this text. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great. Not little minuscule trinkets. Not the crumbs. But those will be fine. From God. I'm fine with the crumbs, amen, but He's promised to us exceeding great and precious. What's precious mean? Valuable. Rare. Something that you'll have that very few have. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know why it's precious or rare? Because even after a message like this, about maybe 1-2% will seek to spend more time in their Bible and actually begin to realize what's in here. The rest will be like, I don't know what that guy preached today, but he was all kind of excited and stuff. But yeah, whatever. And that's how most people treat it. They walk out and they forget what they're forgetful hearers. Oh, they're believers, but they're miserable because they don't know what life is all about. They don't know where the key of life comes from, how they can tap into what God has. And I'm telling you, it's all about this book. It's all about this book. The passage goes on. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what are these? Promises, precious promises, exceeding great. Well, how do we know of those? Twofold, by the knowledge of God, the Word of God. The Word of God tells us the exceeding great and precious promises that by these, He wants to transfer those to you. Young person, look around at the world. That's your future. Unless this gets in you. Do you get that? You say, I'm different. No, you're just as much a loser as I am. We're all in the same boat. None of us are special. God is special. All of us are just a bunch of, we're just kindling, waiting for hell. We're a bunch of sinners. And we don't deserve anything. That's what the Bible says. But God, in His mercy, loved us. Not because we're lovable. If you think you're lovable, ask your spouse or parent if you're lovable. And you'll find out real quick, no, you're not, if they'll be honest with you, because none of us are. Amen? I'll tell you who's lovely, Jesus, who left glory to come down and die for you and I. He left glory to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, He's precious. We're in trouble. We're in trouble, but we think in our pride that we're doing okay because we're a little better than somebody else. But we're not. We're not. We need Jesus. We need to know His word, which will make us free. The only thing that will make you different, by the way, the Bible calls you, if you'll follow His word, a peculiar people. What will make you peculiar is this book. Amen. We were at a wedding last night, family wedding. And say, what were you thinking about the whole time you were there? I saw me there. All I want to do is cry. I saw me. That was me. I said to Dana, we're talking, I said, Dana, don't you realize what you're seeing? I said, this was our wedding. That's us there. I don't say that to be mean. I say that as a reminder. God reminded me yesterday of where He found me. Monetarily, I'm doing fine. I was fine. Spiritually, and by the way, you may think that's what it's all about, making money. I was traveling the world. I had just went in and bought brand new GSXR 750, that was really what I needed. So me and my friends, which by the way, I had a friend that I rode with, he died in Brown County. He went off one of those curvy roads, hit a tree, and it killed him. Steve Rowe, lost, probably screaming at hell today. I didn't know any better. I had money. I had a successful job. I was flying all over. We had a Learjet for maintenance. We flew all over the place just fixing airplanes. Can I say, man, I was so empty. And that's what a lot of young people are looking for, is just something like that. You think that's going to do it. You think if I can just get a successful business or work in a successful career or get that marriage I'm looking for or have that family, I think that'll make me happy. I don't need to be faithful to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to follow things of God. You're deceived, buddy. You're deceived. All I have is a testimony. Brother John talked about that this morning in Sunday school. If you were there, you heard it. If you weren't, you didn't. All I have is a testimony, but I believe it. I know what God did in my life. And you can't talk me out of it. It's with me now forever. I was there. It's my testimony. You know what changed my life? I don't even know why it happened. I didn't even have some guy up at the pulpit preaching it to me like this. I got insanely interested in this book. You know, that's my wife. I was working a full-time job. We're raising kids. I even doing everything I can around the church, working with the youth, trying to do youth activities, going to camp. Remember those days? Oh, my goodness. And I say to my pastor, I just want to grow. He goes, I think you should enroll in the Bible college. Oh, yeah, pastor, I got all kinds of time for that. By the way, that's not what I said to him. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, there's this little school over there in Greenwood. I'm not saying you need to do this. I'm just telling you my story. I walked in his office, which is mine now, and I said, I want more. I want more. I'm loving the preaching. I'm involved in all that. I just have this desire. I'm so far behind the curve. I was raised as a Catholic. We didn't even know what the Bible was. I don't even know what the guy, we were told not to get into it. So that's fine.
So here I am. I'm like, I said to him, how am I ever going to be a good husband? How am I ever going to be a good father? How am I ever going to do anything if I don't know the Bible? How? And he said, I think you ought to go to Bible college. And I said, what's it called? He told me. I went over there and I started looking it up. That next semester, I'm enrolled, buddy. Not because I was trying to be a pastor. I never thought I'd be a pastor. No, not at all. I just got insanely interested about this book. I took 5 years of classes thinking, I never even graduated. I got 48 credit hours over there, all Bible and Christian education classes, most of which ATA paid for, which is another miracle. An airline paying for Bible classes. And the point is this, and that's not why I took classes, I would have paid for them. The point is this, unless you get interested in this book insanely, you're no different than everybody else. Do you realize we all come from the same person? Adam. And come back through because of the way it worked out, and Noah. We're all from the same mold. You're no different than anybody else. The only thing that will make you different is this book. And that's what the Bible teaches. And God is right. In our text, it says that by these, he might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, God's nature. How am I? Isn't this crazy? The mechanism that God has chose to use is this book. I ask you this question, and we only got into point one. I can't believe the time is just flying, amen, but I think we're at a good spot to land. He said this, O faithless generation. They were believers. They're there. But he still called them faithless. I wish I could show you some stuff to even prove that more to you, which I will in the week to come. Why were they faithless? Because the word that they had available to them that they should have known, they didn't. Do you know that there was word that we'll look back to that told them how to get rid of that devil and that boy? What? Yeah, really, really and truly. We will look at that. They had word that was for them that they didn't know about. And because they didn't know about it, they couldn't put it into practice. But it wasn't like God says, it'll be okay because ignorance is bliss. That's not what he said to them. He said, oh, faithless generation. I ask you this question. Is there word right now that you need for your life that you should know that you don't know? Then you're also part of this faithless group. That's what he was talking about. These weren't people that rejected Jesus. They were just people that didn't know the word that God already gave them. And he says, because of that, you can't have faith in it because you don't even know it. Or maybe they had heard it, they just didn't apply it. They didn't see it as important. And that's what the faithless generation was. I urge you today, as we only got through one point, I urge you today, this book needs to be elevated in your level of importance. And it can't be when I get to it. It really does need to come first, or you're just going to keep walking into walls like you have been. You think you're doing something, but you're not. You're just getting beat up and bruised, but you're making no progress because you don't know where the door is. Say, well, show me where the door is and I'll walk through it. I'm trying. This book will show you where those doors are. God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for the time together. God, I pray that message came across right. I'm just trying to be a help. Lord, I know what you've done in my life, and I've not arrived. I have a long way to grow, a long way to go. But God, I can look back at my life and I can see the mechanism that you used to save me and then change me. And God, all I can do is point to you and say it wasn't me. It was all about your book. It was all about the Word of God. And God, to my shame, I believe I have areas of my life that I'm faithless in. because I just don't know that word yet. God, please help me. I want to hunger and thirst after more of your word. Not just so that it's good for me, but God, how can I be who I need to be? Like Noah we read about earlier in the Bible reading time. And God, how, because of your word, he was able to save his family. How can I be who I need to be to my children and wife and church? And how can I be who I need to be if I don't have your divine nature by the knowledge of God? God, help me. Thank you, Father, for this day.